The subject that Brother Gaddy has chosen is dear to all our hearts. The subject is joy. So,
Brother Gaddy.
Thanks, Brother Joe, and good afternoon, dear brethren. It is with joy I am present here with you to see your smiling faces and to have this opportunity to address you at this time. We bring the Christian love and greetings from your brethren in Phoenix. They all wanted to send their special love to you. Also, my wife, who is not with me, Sister Janelle, is not here, but she wanted to send her love to this convention. And it's not too early to plan for your attendance at the New Year's Convention, our annual New Year's Convention in Phoenix, which will be at the end of the year. So we'd like to see many of your smiling faces there and hope that this will occur. This subject of joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we hear a lot about the love, which is, well, I'll read the scripture first and then get the sequence of the fruits of the Spirit. It's in Galatians, the fifth chapter, and verse 22 and 23. It says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. So it is in the second of the listing of these characters, the development that we want to have within ourselves of the fruits of the Spirit, and that first of all is love. We know that love is the prime thing that all of us must have and be motivated by. We no doubt have heard many discourses on the subject of love and the fruits of the Spirit of love. And rightly so, for this is one of God's attributes. And so we want to have this fruit within ourselves because it is a wonderful thought in the Scriptures to have love welling up in each of our hearts toward God, not only toward God, but to our fellow man, and to our brethren, to good, do good unto all men as we have opportunity, and especially unto the household of faith. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is the chapter of love, in the 13th verse, it says, Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So, we want to abide in this beyond all. I thought that it would be profitable for us to come together and to share this thought of joy. It's nice when we meet someone on the streets and they have a smile on their face, and we know that within that person the reflection of that smile is that they're happy. They're a joyful person. And so each of us, we have this joy within. Whether we wear a smile all the time, this may not happen, but we know under certain circumstances that things over the period of the day, we may do something that would not be orthodox in a sense of we may drop a dish on the floor or we may mash our finger with a hammer, or something of this sort, which is not joyous. But we have this inward joy within our hearts that because we know that God has called us out of the darkness of this world into His marvelous light of truth. And that for me to see so many of us here today is joyous to me because we know that God did not call the world of mankind or endeavor to do this to the world of mankind, to give him the world of mankind His glorious truth. And each one doesn't have the same joy that you and I share, and so it is wonderful to come together with those that have the same joy of the hope that is set before us. This hope that was set before our Lord, we will have that scripture in a few moments. We have the same aims, the desires, the thoughts that come into our mind, and it fills our hearts with joy because we have become a part of that new creation. There never was a creation that was ever made before like He is making now. And we are a part of this new creation that God is preparing. And it gives us joy to think about the purpose of that development of the new creation, to bring about a blessing upon all those who will be willing and obedient to the kingdom's order in that day. We think of fruits of the Spirit, and we know that fruits often have a distinction. And so, if we were to think of the thought of love, it would be a sticky fruit. And if we think of the thought of joy, it would be a bubbly fruit. And so these are just outward manifestations that we can think of, because love, the sticky fruit, it binds all of the other fruits together. And so the bubbly fruit of joy we find in our hearts. We may not manifest that sometimes in all of our life's experiences, but it is a joy, an inward feeling within each of our hearts and minds to know God and to know that He has a part for us in the rehabilitation of the human family right here on earth. In the Psalms, 95th Psalm, verses 1 through 8, I'd like to read those. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of earth, the strength of the hills, and of His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship, and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hands. Today, if we will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We know this is a direct association to the Israeli people, His people that He had selected. And so we are the spiritual Israel. And so we think about, truly He is our God. We know that He has decided that He would select a new creation. We know that He started with the Israel of God, that is the Israeli people, the Jewish nation. And since they did not accept it, He turned to the Gentile nations. And so we, through this method, He has began to select one here and one there from all, every nation, kindred, and tongue. This word joyful in this text that we just read is riano. Now, I may not pronounce in the Greek or the Hebrew the word properly, but it means a shout for joy, a joyful voice, singing triumphantly. Here we see the awesome beauty of God in His power, the divine creator of all things, and to know that we are His people. For this text here, we're taking it as being to us. And many of the texts that we have, we think of those as they are related directly to us as His new creation. Today, He has caused us to hear His voice, to open us our hearts unto Him, that we might make this covenant with Him, a covenant of sacrifice. So it is a beautiful relationship, the Father-Son relationship. Most of us have families, and this relationship of Father-Son, Mother-Daughter, however, the relationship is a beautiful one. And it's based on faith and trust and hope, all of these things. And yet there's a great joy within this, within that individual to know, well, that's my father, he does so-and-so. That's my mother, she does so-and-so. This is a relationship that we have with our God, a personal relationship, an expression of joy to say, He is our Father. The joy that is used in the scripture that we gave you as a text in Galatians 5:22. This word means cheerfulness, a calm delight, a gentleness, greatly, to be exceeding joyful. And so we see the thought of this relationship in the text that was given. The fruits of the Spirit to be developed. It's because we have joy that we know God. And that we know that we are on the right side. We have joy in respect that we know that God has a purpose in mind. We can't be joyful for the things that we see on TV today. Those things that is tearing the world apart. The anarchy that is here that we have no control over. We only know that eventually it will work out. The tearing down of this system for the inauguration of God's glorious kingdom. And so through this, through that suffering, we have no joy that we see these people dying and so on. But we have joy in our heart knowing that ultimately this is working out for God's plan and purposes for the ages to come. When all shall know Him, from the least even unto the greatest, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to His name's honor and to His glory. Let us turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, which is one of the nicest texts that we have. Referring to our Lord, it's Hebrews 12, verses 2 through 4. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Yes, we look to Jesus here because He did resist even unto blood the temptations, because He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Even from His early youth, He began to reconcile Himself with man and with God. This joy was not an outburst of singing or shouting by the Lord Jesus, but it was a deep reward within Him, knowing that He was pleasing to His Heavenly Father by enduring these things that were permitted for him to endure, that the Father did require of him. Perhaps he was thinking of the Isaiah scriptures, the words in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is dedicated to telling about what he should do and what he should be and what God would require of him. No, we know that the scourgings and all of the things that he suffered, the crown of thorns, they weren't joyous to him. But this joy that was set before him, the divine nature, the joy that is set before us to become of the divine nature, what joy fills our hearts. The pleasant thing about this is that no one can take this joy from us. The trials and difficulties that our Lord experienced, it didn't take the joy from him. He still endured that cross, despised the shame, and he went on to carry out his covenant of sacrifice. And it says here that we are to look to Jesus, who is the author, the beginner, if you will, and the finisher of our faith. He called us out of the darkness of the world and to his marvelous light of truth to share with us that great truth and to offer to us. He hasn't offered this to the world, but one here and one there. What joy to know that God, the Almighty, Supreme, Divine Being, look to you to share this great truth and considered you worthy that you could lay down your life in sacrifice. The joy is appalling. Sometimes there is a joy, and it even requires tears sometimes. But it's a tear of love and respect and hope for that we share for the world of mankind. We see many things on TV that are so out of the way so far as righteousness is concerned. Especially the children that are so abused. It brings tears to us. But we know in our hearts through the joy that fills our hearts that it won't always be this way. The inauguration of that kingdom that we have long prayed for and our brethren down through the age have prayed for, that kingdom will take away all of these things, that truly the world may have the joy of knowing God. Because he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and they all shall know him. And that joy will fill their hearts as well. And it will be right here on God's green earth that this will happen. God didn't change his mind in going to send everyone to heaven. He created this earth not in vain, but he formed it to be inhabited. And he is going to have a perfect human race right here upon this God's green earth. And that alone, to know this and to be a part of it and to know about it ahead of time for the revealment of that to us sends great joy and peace to us. The experiences that Our hours sometimes are almost unbearable. Many of us have been in hospitals. We have had many things plaguing us as fallen human beings, as our fallen nature. And yet, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we are to consider these things as a training, as an experience to a higher hope that we have. We can't enjoy those experiences while they're happening to us. They're not pleasurable. But we know that these things work out within us a far more exceeding great joy and peace in that new creature mind. The old man is not willing, but the new creature is endeavoring to put away that old man and to the best of our ability to enjoy the growth of the new creature mind. Oh yes, we have to live with this body until the change comes. But we look forward with joy to that change. What a wonderful thought in the change, in the resurrection, to be like God, the divine nature, to share with Him in His glory and the beauty of the resurrection of the world of mankind. And so we do look forward to the not only the author and the finisher of our faith, but we look to, with faith, to this completion, this completed work. This Hebrews is quite a lovely study in the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Here again is another fruit of the Spirit, and is bound together with love. Therefore we have joy within ourselves that no one can take away from us. So we love this faith that God has given us. We thank Him for it. We thank Him for our brethren. We thank Him for all of our brethren who have gone on before us. We thank Him for the apostles, the foundation. And above all, we thank Him for the revelation of His loving character to us and the gift of His Son, Christ Jesus, who tasted death for every man to be testified in due time. In James, the first chapter, I'd like to read verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy that when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. These requirements that are ours or have been given to us, the development of the fruits of the Spirit, if we are nonchalant about God's exercise of His Holy Spirit within us, if we are not aware of His dealing with us day by day and our relationship, certainly faith can fail. Therefore, our hope would fail, and all of those things would be lost. But let us with joy proceed tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow until it is the day in which we shall have our transfer to the divine nature. We can only rejoice in those things that God will permit for us. We have to think individually in our relationship to God. Why would He permit me to have this experience? Or why would He permit me to have this experience or that experience, another experience? Maybe very severe. But it is written that this is to the development of a new creature mind, the complete trust that must be ours in God. For we know that He is all-powerful, almighty, and able to do what He would want in this earth or any of the other realms of the spiritual nature. This word here that we used in James says rejoice. That means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's a hard saying, isn't it? But we know that these things work patience, they work the other fruits of the Spirit within us. And so we look to God to help us through those things. And He will finish His work if we will only comply with this. Cheerfully, calmly proceed to carry out those things that God would have us to be developed within. He knows our hearts. He knows our heart's desires. And so therefore we know that He is able to and willing to continue with us in all of our life's affairs. There is this calmness, as you have noticed probably, that joy has many different connotations, many different meanings. And this one perhaps is one that means that we can rejoice and know in a calm, happy mode to know that our names are potentially written in heaven. To think about that. That our names are written in heaven. This is awesome to think of that. To change to the divine nature. We don't know what that is actually, do we? But as the Apostle Paul says, we know that we shall be like Him. And if we're like God, we know that this is the glorious and the grandest, the most awesome thing that could possibly happen to us. And so our names are written in heaven. We thank God for our relationship to Him. In 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, in verses 9 through 12, "For what thank you that we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" And this is the Apostle Paul's letter to those in Thessalonica. And he was, as he had established the church, and he was saying here now that he was having joy for their sakes. It says, "Night and day praying exceeding that you might see your face." He might want to come back to visit them and to see them. But in his ministry, he was writing this letter and saying, "Well, hopefully I will be seeing your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." He might be able to say something that would help you to be more Christ-like, to be more perfect in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto You, praying that this might transpire. And He was looking forward with joy to this end. As you and I come together in convention to see each other's faces, what joy it gives us to be associated with the brethren, those of like precious faith. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So we see the Apostle Paul had this joy within him. He knew that he had established this church there, and it was hopeful that he would come back in a joyful mood that he might impart some truth that would help them, that they might be full. This verse, the ninth verse here, imparts two different meanings in the word joy. The one is the one that in the beginning we gave you for the Galatians chapter, verse, cheerfulness, calm delight. And the other one was cheerful, calm, happily. So a kind of a bubbly thing. And this is why joy is, we feel a welling up in our hearts for joy for the things that God hath imparted to us. What a great love and a great joy that God hath imparted to us of His great truth to share, to know Him as the divine being, the divine creator of all things, both in heaven and in earth. And to reveal unto us as a God of love and of mercy, and not the fiend that the world claims that He is. The eternal torture doctrine is taught. The immortality of the soul is taught. And these are works of the adversary. And we know that God hath imparted us to us the truth along these lines, that He is a God of love and a God of mercy. Turning back to the Psalms again, in the 16th Psalm and verse 11, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, in Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a beautiful text. The fullness of joy that we share, the path of life that we have directed. God has changed our path way back when He called us into the knowledge of His truth. He changed our path. He gave us a different path. And in His presence is fullness of joy. We are in His presence when we are at prayer, when we are at meeting. Because He says that where two or three are gathered together, there I will be also. So we are in His presence, and there is certainly fullness of joy as we think about being in the presence of God, the very divine creator of this universe. How astounding to think that we have this. This word joy in the Old Testament means glee, exceedingly, gladness, joyfulness, myrrh, M-I-R-T-H, mirth, rejoicing. Here's a part of the text in Revelation 2:10. It says, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And so we're looking forward with great joy to that transfer of life if we're faithful. But whatever God has in mind for us, whatever degree of grace He bestows upon us, we are joyful to receive that, to be the recipient of it, and to know that He is Almighty God, that He is the judge of all, and that we may thank Him for this life, whatever it might be in the hereafter. But our hope is that one hope of the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Many years ago, when Brother Harry Hersher, I first came into the class, Brother Harry Hersher was there, and he says, we rarely can comprehend what and how high the high calling is to be godlike, to be of the divine nature. It stirs within you to think of the awesome possibility of being that character. And if we are faithful, God will give us of His own divine nature. Again, in the Psalms, the 17th chapter and the 15th verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Certainly. What joy it is for us to think of that awesome possibility of our awaking in the likeness of God Almighty. Almighty God, the divine creator of all things. Turning to John, the 15th chapter, in verse 11, it says, then these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Here in this 15th chapter of John, just preceding the time that our Lord was to be executed, we think of these words that is spoken to those then, and as a result have come down to us, the church, down through the whole gospel age, that our joy might continue, that we might, that joy might be remain in us, and that the joy might be full. And today, it is wonderful to have been here with our brethren to share this joy that God hath imparted to us of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, what wondrous grace God hath given unto us. And finally, in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God, of the joy that is set before us, and that joy that was set before our Lord, as we think of His willingness and obedience to the will of God, let it be a joy to us to continue in our life struggle to the end of our way. May the Lord add His blessing.
Well, thank you, Brother Lloyd, for that beautiful lesson on joy. And we of all people have a lot to be joyful for, don't we? There will be an intermission for fellowship after Brother Gaddy's prayer, and the next session will begin at 4:15 with the testimony meeting led by Brother Byron Keith.
Let us pray. Our holy and blessed eternal Heavenly Father, Thou who art the God of all grace and truth, Thou who art our God, we come before You, dear Father, in the name and the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to thank You, dear Father, for this convention. We thank You for the brethren here. We thank You for our brethren throughout the world and ask Your special blessing to be upon each of them according to their Thy loving will and wisdom for each one to carry out their consecration vows. Be with us now, dear Father, to continue with us in this fellowship that we may be encouraged, that we may be guided more and more by Thy Spirit, may be filled more and more by Thy Spirit. To this end we do pray, dear Father, that we may cooperate more fully with Thee. And now we ask Your blessing upon the words spoken, that they may have a resting place within our hearts, and that it may yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto Thy name's honor and glory, we pray. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.